missing fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health and It Ain't Rocket Science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis.
Dr. Holly Lucille's off on vacation. We're holding down the fort. If you would like to call in, 1-877-711-5211. That's 1-877-711-5211. We are very lucky to have a special guest, Dr. Beth Zeenan. Dr. Zeenan is an ER doctor out on the East Coast, probably inundated with work. We pried her away from there to help our listeners get their arms around this flu season. Dr. Zeenan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. By the way, Decker, it's Dr. Zeeman. I just have to throw
Zeeman.
That in.
My apologies. Zeeman. I'm still working on my own name half the time.
You know, Dr. Zeeman, I want to say that I saw an article in the New York Times from January 9th, and you say, quote, "Yesterday I saw a construction worker, a big, strong guy in his Carhartts who looked like he could fall off a roof without noticing it." Tell us more about what you've been seeing.
Well, we have, over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks, we had a sudden onset of a huge increase in the number of patients we've seen with influenza. And, you know, our emergency rooms are used to having sort of the same, more or less, you know, the same number of patients a day, and we had a huge spike. And what we've seen is people who have classic flu symptoms, just like you read about in the books. They have sudden onset of severe body aches, fever up to 103, 104 sometimes, usually a dry cough, runny nose, and just feeling completely exhausted and wiped out. And that's what we
That's exactly what happened to me. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
It's remarkable
how people have similar symptoms. I mean, there's something that's sort of classic about the flu illness that's a little bit different than your typical winter, you know, colds and other things that people call the flu, but the real influenza comes on like a freight train.
Oh, that's really one of the Dr. Zeeman, you've been. Oh, go ahead, Dicker.
Well, that's one of the things I always try and differentiate from my patients, that this is not a cold. It's not a short course bacterial infection. This is a real influenza. This is one of those three weekers. Sorry, go ahead, Lisa. You've got those good questions.
Oh, I was gonna say, Dr. Zeeman, you know, you've been doing this, what, I think 27 years, I understand. And is this one of the worst flu epidemics you've seen? 22 years. Still, that's a long time.
It is a long time. You know, this is the earliest one we've seen, which is a little bit different. And certainly the spike we've had over the last couple of weeks has been quite challenging for us in the emergency department. In terms of the worst one, I don't know, actually. I don't follow it closely enough to see. I guess by worst, what it really means is how many people end up in the hospital or dying from the flu or with severe complications. And I think it's a little early for us to tell that so far.
Do you think this odd warm weather we've been having here on the East Coast has had anything to do with it? Because I keep hearing people talking about, well, if it was colder, it would kill the germs. Is that true? Is that a myth? What's going on there?
You know, I don't really know. I can't tell you the answer to that question. I really don't know. I think you'd have to talk to the virologists who follow it. So I don't know. It sort of seems that way, but I really don't know.
Dr. Zeeman, do you feel that we're kind of overtaxing the ERs right now? Are we getting to the point where we're going to be turning people away? These states of emergency you hear about, it kind of puts a panic through a lot of my patients when they hear that. I was wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, we have, I mean, at least in my emergency department, we have been able to scale up a little bit. They've opened some areas to put patients in where they hadn't had before, and We've been definitely working hard. We've been holding our own so far. I think what's going to happen is, first of all, actually, I worked a 12-hour shift yesterday, and we saw much less of it than we'd seen the week before. So there's this feeling that maybe the spike has hit and that we're on the way down right now. But, I think hospitals can be overtaxed, but, again, most patients can be discharged with the flu. Most are not admitted, and so far we've been holding our own.
Yeah, you know, everybody I've talked to, it seems like they're just getting over it now. So I think that spike is definitely, it went up, and now it seems like everybody's on the other side. Thank goodness, because I felt like I was never going to get better. I had 103 fever for 4 days. I became delusional. I was like, I'm going to be sick. It's almost
more
like
delusional.
I forgot what it felt like to, more delusional. Thank you, Decker. I almost, it's like I forgot what it felt like to feel well. Like what now, yep. like today, I'm like, ooh, my head's not all heavy and I feel good and I can smile. I couldn't even, I mean, I just laid there like a lump of misery.
Yeah, it's terrible. It really is. I think people, most yeah. people who have had colds and you know, other illnesses and they think they've had the flu, when you really get it, you realize what it's like to be sick. And I think it makes people, you know, it should make people realize how awful it is for people who are really chronically ill, because you realize it's no fun. It's really no fun.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Now, did most of the people come in to the hospital, Dr. Zeman, because they felt like, were they dehydrated, or were they just felt so miserable they wanted to figure out what it was? What do you think the motivation or why they came in?
I mean, I think there's a couple of different groups. One is people who don't really know very much about it and maybe haven't been reading the newspapers and don't know what they have and they feel like they're dying. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, yeah. you know, we see a lot of different populations in our emergency department, and sometimes the new immigrants come in and they're really kind of freaked out about what they have because they feel so terrible, and maybe they are not aware of what's going on in the community. So some people come in and, you know, it's really what we do for them is more instructional than anything else. You know, we just kind of let them know this is typical, there's an epidemic going on, you know, you will get better in 5 to 7 days, and we kind of evaluate them to make sure they're not seriously ill and don't need to be hospitalized or hydrated. Some people realize that there is a medication for it that you can use to treat this illness, and they come looking for the medication. And we, you know, there's fairly specific recommendations as to when the medications can be used and when they're most effective. And so we do, you know, treat some people. And then others who come in are really dehydrated and they need to be hydrated up and occasionally admitted.
For me, I'm a cardiologist. So,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, so go in ahead, cardiology, David. It goes to their chest and their heart failure sets off, and I have to send them into the ER for folks like you just to get them tuned up again, get their vital signs under control. And so thank you for that work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about this medicine because I wish someone had given me something. I tried everything. I tried herbal. I tried, you know, I tried the heaviest, you know, nighttime sleeping, sniffling, da-da-da. I still felt miserable.
Yeah, the medicine that we, there's two medicines that are approved for, you know, influenza A, and most of what we've seen right now is influenza A, and there's two different medications that we use for it. The most common one that we use is called Tamiflu, and if you get the medicine, if you take the medicine within 48 hours of the onset of the illness, it does help a little bit. It's, you know, certainly for people who come in and who are very sick and need to be hospitalized, the medication is definitely indicated, and we use it for those people. And there's some evidence that it decreases the length of stay in the hospital, and it decreases some of the severe complications, you know, decreases the chances that somebody's going to have to be intubated and put on a breathing machine and that sort of thing. For the people who are outpatients, you know, who like you had the illness, but you're otherwise healthy person, basically shortens the course. The evidence is that it shortens the course of the illness by about 1 day. So if normally you're going to have the flu for 5 days or 6 days, it might shorten it by 1 day. So, you know, the medication is, it does have some potential side effects, but most people, when they're in the throes of the really bad flu, would take a 1 day decrease and they want the medication. So that's what
I'd love to know your... I'd love to know your opinion about, we're wrapping up here, but just quickly about the flu vaccine. Yes, no, what do you think?
Definitely yes. The flu vaccine is, this year it's been found to be about 62% effective. So there's about a 62% chance that it'll decrease your chances of getting influenza. You know, it's probably the best bang for the buck that you can get in almost any healthcare-related things that you can do. There's very, very few complications of the vaccine itself. It's widely available, it's inexpensive, and it can not only decrease your chances of getting flu, but less chances of getting flu
for
your family.
I apologize, we're out of time. We thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy day. Great advice from ER doc, Dr. Beth Zeman. Giving us a little knowledge on the East Coast, letting us know, no need to panic, the doctors have it under control.